From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Marty Johnson reporting. The death toll from massive explosions in the Chinese port of Tianjin is now at 104, including 21 firefighters, state media reported today. Chinese authorities have ordered an immediate mandatory evacuation from the site of the massive fire and explosions that devastated an industrial neighborhood in the northeastern port city. Chinese Central Television is reporting rescue operations have been suspended after a fresh fire broke out near the scene. The TV channel said a car slightly damaged during the explosion caught fire. And Beijing News is reporting everyone within a 3-kilometer radius of the warehouse explosion site is being forcibly evacuated due to exposure to a possible chemical contamination. Sodium cyanide, a toxic chemical that can be detected, was detected east of the site, according to police cited by the pair. In Iraq, a car bombing today at a popular auto dealership in a Shiite-majority suburb has killed 11 people and wounded at least 35. The blast hit a neighborhood of Sadr City, the same district where a massive truck bomb ripped through a wholesale vegetable market just 2 days ago, killing 67 people, one of the worst attacks in Baghdad in a decade. There's been no immediate claim of responsibility for today's attack. A Syrian rebel group says a ceasefire negotiated with the Syrian army and its Lebanese ally Hezbollah has collapsed and fighting resumed in the strategic northern town of Zabadani and two nearby villages. The 72-hour truce in rebel-held Zabadani near the Lebanese border and the Shiite settlements of Fua and Kafreya, the last two government-held villages in Idlib province, was reached earlier this week and was supposed to last until tomorrow. But the main rebel group involved in the negotiation says they have resumed military operations after the talks failed. Government forces and allies are shelling rebel positions, according to London-based sources. This is VOA News. The Italian Navy says at least 40 migrants are dead in an unknown number of others rescued from what local media are describing as an overcrowded people smugglers boat just off the coast of Libya. A Navy statement on Twitter says the rescue operation is ongoing. German lawmakers are expected to vote Wednesday on whether to approve a third bailout for Greece. Both Greek lawmakers and Eurozone finance ministers now back the deal, but Lisa Brand reports from Paris that hurdles remain.
A number of Eurozone parliaments must vote on it, starting with Germany, one of the biggest bailout skeptics. The European Commission wants parliaments to pass the deal by Wednesday to allow Greece to repay the $3.6 billion it owes the European Central Bank by deadline. Dutch finance minister and Eurogroup head Jeroen Dijsselbloem hailed the agreement at a press conference in Brussels.
It's comprehensive. It addresses the main challenges on reaching sound public finances, but also structural policy frameworks, and it safeguards financial stability.
IMF chief Christine Lagarde said the bailout agreement is an important step forward, but more needs to be done. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Secretary of State John Kerry says a new U.S.-Cuban committee will begin talks next month on full normalization of bilateral ties, building on Friday's historic ceremony in which the American flag was raised above the U.S. embassy in Havana for the first time in more than 54 years. Mr. Kerry spoke at a joint news conference with Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez.
The policies of the past have not led to a democratic transition in Cuba. It would be equally unrealistic to expect normalizing relations to have, in a short term, a transformational impact.
Some U.S. lawmakers oppose normalized relations with Cuba and want to keep a long-standing embargo against Havana. Mr. Kerry and President Obama want it to end. The Iraqi government is promising sweeping reforms to fight corruption, which activists say could help ease the country's security crisis. Heather Murdoch reports.
For weeks, protesters in Iraq sweltered through temperatures, sometimes in the 50s, demanding electricity. Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi then promised widespread reforms and began firing high-level officials whom he deemed corrupt. Carnegie Middle East Center scholar Renaud Mansour says anti-corruption reforms could also help Iraq fight Islamic State by centralizing security forces.
This is a way for him to say that we need to begin to institutionalize the security sector away from what's happening now in Iraq, which is the state essentially being at the behest of different paramilitary groups.
The self-proclaimed Islamic State has controlled large portions of Iraq and Syria for over a year, despite a U.S.-led coalition fighting the group. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Cairo.
And I'm Marty Johnson in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.